Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Roxanne Lawler, Associate Pastor. Thanks for joining us. Nehemiah 7 verses 1 to 5 looks at a time after the completion of the wall, when Nehemiah is appointing people to important roles to fulfill the purposes of God. Even though they were in effect bouncers or security guards and worship leaders and priests, we can learn from those people Nehemiah appointed. Matt Willis, our associate pastor, explores how we too must be people who care holistically for those around us, how our character and integrity is forged in the time we spend with God, and how there is at times a cost to being part of the plans of God. We care. We have character, and sometimes there's a cost to it.
Good morning. The reading this morning is from Nehemiah chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. And normally I would wait to hear the flipping of Bible pages stop, but we all use apps now, don't we? Nehemiah chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. After the wall had been rebuilt and I had set the doors in place, the gatekeepers, the musicians and the Levites were appointed. I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most people do. I said to them, "The gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot. While the gatekeepers are still on duty, make them shut the doors and bar them. Also appoint residents of Jerusalem as guards, some at their posts and some near their own houses." Now the city was large and spacious, but there were very few people in it, and the houses had not yet been rebuilt. So my God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the common people for registration by families. I found the genealogical record of those who had been the first to return. This is what I found written there.
It's great to see you all here this morning, both here on site and for everyone joining us online. My name is Matt. I'm one of the associate pastors here at GBC. And today we are wrapping up a pretty brief return into our series, Renovation Rebuilding for Purpose, where we have dived into the narrative and the story of Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem, seeking to draw out lessons about how we can be people who discern the plans and purposes of God within our own life. And today we find ourselves in chapter 7 of the story. But before we dive into Nehemiah's story, I want to share with you a story of my own. The year is 2000. I am 12 years old in year 6 at primary school. And for whatever reason, my peers decide that I am the best person to be sports captain for the red team. I know, yes, laughing is the appropriate response. You don't have lanky limbs like this and have people look at you and think athletic prowess, right? But, you know, I didn't pay anyone off. And for whatever reason, they thought I was the right person. And I stepped into that role because I was excited to have a sense of purpose. And there were big expectations placed on little Matt Willis in year 6 to be appointed to that position. I had to be the person who kind of inspired and excited my peers to get involved in all things sporting. I may not be athletic, but I'm extroverted, so I could pull that off. I had to come up with the cheers that we would sing out from the sideline as our teammates ran or swam or did other sporting things, I don't know, threw something. And I needed to be willing to graciously and humbly accept the trophy if and when my team won the House Cup. Plot twist, we did. But there was a purpose, thank you. There was a purpose behind that position. I was appointed into something more than myself, and I took it very seriously. And because of that, there were expectations placed on me in that role. More significantly, later in life, I experienced that professionally. Many of you would know that before I joined ministry here at GBC, I worked for the Department of Community Services, which is now Communities and Justice. And as a caseworker in that field, you were known as a delegate of the minister. You represented the purpose and the drive and the vision behind the department and the minister themselves. And as a result, there were very clear expectations in the way that you conducted yourself in that role. The terminology was that we needed to be model litigants, which meant that no matter how much people yelled at us, threatened us, insulted us, and trust me, there was plenty of it, we needed to represent the minister that we worked for, the department that we had our purpose shaped by. Maybe you've experienced this in your own life. You've been appointed to a role either officially or unofficially, and there has been a purpose to that role that has shaped certain expectations of you. Maybe you've stepped into a leadership position at school or in work, and you have had the purpose of your organization, your community put on you, and there have been expectations of you in how you fulfill the role that you have been appointed to. But even if it hasn't been something so formal, we all experience the informal expectations of roles and positions that we are appointed to day in, day out, in big and small ways, don't we? Socially and relationally, we get appointed to roles all the time, of friend, of spouse, of parent, of a child. And all of those roles have different purposes. And within those purposes, they all have different expectations. When you're a friend, there's the expectation that you show up. When you're a parent, there's an expectation that you will care for your child, control your child at times. When you're a spouse, there's an expectation that you will exclude all others for that one person, and rightfully so. We all experience various roles. And those roles all have a purpose. And if we're going to uphold that purpose, there are certain expectations in how we conduct ourselves within that role. We would all kind of see that in our life. And I think it's that kind of human nature that we find Nehemiah tapping into here in chapter 7. We finally find ourselves at the point in the story where the wall of Jerusalem is complete. Up until now, the purpose of the narrative has been getting that wall up, getting it finished. And it would be really easy to kind of wrap a purpose up in a project. And now that it's complete, kind of call tools down, day's done, let's go home. But Nehemiah understands that although the wall is complete, the work continues, the purpose is still at play. And the best way in order to see that purpose lived out and continue on is to place it in people and to have people take ownership and take hold of that purpose and take it into their day-to-day lives. And so he starts to appoint people. He appoints people into positions of the purpose of God. He appoints individuals and he appoints an entire community. Because although the purpose doesn't exist in a project, the purpose will always live within his people. And I think as Nehemiah appoints these various individuals and kind of calls the wider community of Israel into purpose, he outlines some very clear expectations of what it looks like to be agents of the plans and purposes of God. Of what it means to step into that position, to be appointed. And there are expectations that transcend time for us. This is not just something that was relevant for the Israelites as they completed the wall of Jerusalem. It is something that is relevant for us. And so if we, as followers of Jesus, are going to live out the purposes of God, if we're going to step into the position that God calls us into as agents of his purpose, then we need to understand exactly what he expects of us as we do that. So if you have your Bible with you, I encourage you, open them up. Nehemiah 7, or you can use the QR code behind me for our online crew. There will be a link in the chat. And you can use YouVersion, where we create an event every Sunday. It's got our Bible reading. It's got a whole bunch of ways in which you can engage in today's sermon. But Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1 starts with this. Now, when the wall was rebuilt and I had set up the doors, the gatekeepers and the singers and the Levites were appointed. And I think in this opening appointment, this opening verse, we see something very significant about the expectations that God has on us as we get appointed into his purpose. And it's got to do with the way that we care for people. I'm not sure if you're aware, but this is a very weird group dynamic. Your gatekeepers, your Levites, and your singers. Your gatekeepers kind of have a very secular role. Like, they're your classic soldiers. They're the people who you're going to put at the gate, who you're going to have positioned on the wall around the city. They're the ones who are going to provide for the physical protection of the Israelites. And then you've got the Levites and the singers. The singers, we've seen a couple of times in the story of Nehemiah, where they have come out and they have led corporate worship, where they have pulled the community, God's people together, and sung worship and praise to God. And the Levites, the one tribe of Jerusalem, when the Israelites came into the promised land, didn't get land, but got put into a role, a priestly role, that they would be mediators between God and his people. These two groups have a very spiritual and sacred role. And yet what we see here in Nehemiah is he's taking the physical and the spiritual and he's making them one. And it would be very easy to kind of go, well, this is odd, but let's move on. But it's not the only time that we see these groups kind of come together. Later on in the story in Nehemiah 12 and 13, the gatekeepers are actually numbered with the Levites and receive a tithe as a result. In 1 and 2 Chronicles, the gatekeepers are assumed to have Levitical status. They guard the entrances of the temple in order to protect ritual purity and oversee the temple's furniture and supplies. This seems to be a reoccurring appointment of the physical and the spiritual, and it has something very significant to say about the way that we care for people. And I believe that the invitation, the expectation, as people appointed to the purpose of God, is that when we care for people, we care for all of that person. That our care that we are called into is holistic, it is all-encompassing, and all-inclusive. How many of you have sat in a conversation and you've kind of put out something that's going on for you, a challenge, a difficulty, a struggle, and the person that you were talking to goes, oh, well, that reminds me of a time. Let me tell you how I fixed it. We've all had that conversation. And you're like, you've completely missed the point, but that's okay. Thank you for your advice. We're very quick to kind of jump at what we think people need. Let me tell you the answers I have. And it can kind of create a bit of a tunnel vision for us. This will fix your problems. Let me care for you in this specific way. And as Christians, the situation is even further complicated because we are followers of Jesus. We're people who have experienced the transformation, the change that comes from the way, the truth, and the life, from having a living, breathing relationship with Jesus. And so, of course, we understand that most things can be solved by knowing Jesus. Trust me, you do not have to convince me of that. I believe and understand in the need of spiritual exploration. You don't commit yourself to working in a church if you don't believe in that kind of stuff. But sometimes we too can get a little bit of tunnel vision. What you need is this Bible verse. What you need is this prayer. What you need is to understand this about Jesus. But what we understand is that people's journeys are far more complicated. People's needs are far more gray than black and white. And we need to be people who understand that when we cross paths with someone, that it's actually not about what we know. It's not about what we think will fix everything. It's not about the needs that we think that person has. But it's about sitting with them, knowing them, hearing their story, their journey, their perspectives, and being the person to provide the care that they themselves need. It's not about being a one-trick pony. It's not about being tunnel visioned. It's not about only caring for one aspect and kind of saying that that's enough. If we're going to be people who are appointed to the purposes of God, we need to be people who care for the whole person, all people, any and every aspect that they might need. The spiritual, yes, but also the physical, the emotional. And we need to be willing to be present in that space and provide the needs that people have. That is one of the ways in which we are expected to live out the purpose that God calls us into. But Nehemiah doesn't stop there. He then starts to talk about our character. The expectation of character is someone appointed into the purpose of God. Verse 2, he starts talking about Hanani and Hananiah. And he talks about why these two individuals are appointed to a significant position of leadership within Jerusalem. And he says it's because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most. I'm sure you've experienced in some way, shape, or form the anxiety that can kind of stir up when people start talking about character. There is a lot of pressure in that space, and all of a sudden, this sense of character and having a character that is worthy of the name, worthy of the appointment, worthy of God, becomes this overwhelming pressure. It becomes this benchmark that we feel like we need to be able to reach, that we need to bring our skills and abilities and our experiences to the table, that it's all about what we can do, what we can achieve, what we need to be focusing on. And all of a sudden, our character becomes about who I can make myself be, that I need to make myself worthy. It becomes about control, what I can do in order to be worthy of the post that God calls me into. But I actually don't believe that that's what Nehemiah is talking about here. I don't believe that that's actually what God is calling us into. The word used here is integrity. And really, simply put, integrity is just about integration. The integration of God's character with our own. We don't know too much about these individuals, except the fact that they have integrity. But we do know a bit more about Nehemiah, a man who I believe also demonstrates integrity and therefore was able to identify it in other people. And Nehemiah is someone who constantly spends time seeking to understand the character of God. Over and over and over again, within this story thus far, we've seen Nehemiah being able to tap into God's heart, God's desires, and God's purposes. And it's because he has integrated himself with the character of God. And this is actually quite a freeing notion, because it no longer becomes about what we can bring into the situation, what we need to do, what we need to achieve. It actually becomes far more simple. It becomes more about spending time knowing God and allowing that to permeate through us, to shift and change and transform our character. We live in a pretty chaotic world, I think it's fair to say. Full of noise, full of expectations, full of things to do. And I'm reminded of the passage, "Be still and know that I am God." Nehemiah, time and time again, demonstrates a willingness to be still. When he hears about the state of the wall, he stops and he prays, he fasts and he waits on the Lord. Time and time again, he shows these practices. And we live in a world that is always forward moving, always pushing forward. And there is a need for us to be still in order that we can know God. It's not keep going and in the chaos God will just reveal himself, although there's truth in that. The invitation is to stop. To stop the noise, to stop our own expectations, our own requests, and actually just be still. And in that stillness, allow God to reveal himself, for us to know him, to explore him, to have the revelation of his truth made known. And in that moment, as we come to know God more and more, we will be people of integrity because the character of God will integrate with our own. And we will become people who represent the purpose that he has called us into. Because like Nehemiah, our hearts and desires will be aligned with the God whose character we reflect. As people appointed to the purposes of God, we are called to have a character of integrity, a character that is so entwined with God's that you couldn't see where we stop and he begins. And then Nehemiah talks about the cost, the expectation of cost, and what it will cost us to step into the role that we are being appointed into, to step into the purposes of God. Verse 4, it says, "Now the city was large and spacious, but the people in it were few and the houses were not yet rebuilt." Up until this time, the people of Israel had had to kind of reestablish their lives, both in exile, but then even since they've kind of been released out of those nations and been able to come back to Jerusalem. And they have established themselves predominantly in the countryside. And this has provided great opportunity for them. They've been able to establish homes, businesses, they've farmed the land. And as a result, they've been able to create a degree of security for themselves, a degree of comfort, of a sense of knowing what comes next. And what Nehemiah is actually doing here is he's throwing out a blanket invitation. And the invitation is to leave that sense of security, to leave the opportunities that the countryside provides for the Israelites and come into something new. Come into something unknown. Come into something not even yet complete, that's still being developed, that's still being built. What he's saying is to leave your comfort and come into some work. And that would have been alarming. For a nation, for a group of people who have had so much uncertainty, so much turbulence in their life, to finally be settled, to finally be comfortable, and then to be called into something more, there is a big price to pay there. And yet it is an expectation that Nehemiah has for the people who are appointed to the purposes of God. And that's a pretty big expectation for us as well, isn't it? Because our society, the purpose that we are told we need to be attaining, that we need to be working towards, moving towards, is comfort. We're told that it is the very purpose of life to be comfortable, to know ourselves, to know our circumstance, to have a sense of certainty. That anything unknown, anything uncomfortable, anything uncertain is other, should be avoided, should be kind of broken off and thrown away. We do it to opportunities, we do it to people, and yet God calls us into something more. He calls us into the discomfort of things, the uncertainty of things. He invites us as people appointed to his purpose to pay the price and to step into a new experience, a new environment, a new community, to not allow fear and discomfort to send us backwards, but to actually step into new work, new opportunities, new ways in which we can be stretched and grown. Because when it comes to faith, comfort and certainty is the things that create complacency and apathy. It is too easy to kind of sit down and just go about our day. But God has so much more for us to explore, so much more for us to learn, so much more for us to experience. And it might make us squirm a little bit. It might make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. But when we step into that, when we take up the invitation to come into a community, to be His people, to be His holy nation, to be set apart, to step into His city, into His purposes, well, He makes available to us something so much more than what our comfort can provide. We are called to take up the position within God's purpose. These are not individual invitations. These are not individual appointments. This is a collective invitation. We all, as followers of Jesus, are called to be appointed to His plans and purposes. And as such, there are expectations in that role. Expectations of the way we care for people, the character in which we hold, and the cost in which we will need to pay. And so, church, this week, as we seek to rebuild for purpose, both individually and collectively, I want to encourage you to consider, what does God expect of you? Is He requiring you to care for the whole person? To be available to hear their story, to hear their needs, and be there for them in that moment, to be whatever they need, making it less about what you think they need? Is He calling you into a character that is more integrated with His own? Is He inviting you to be still, to know Him? Or is He asking you to pay the price of your comfort, to step into something new, something that you wouldn't have thought for yourself, something that you didn't think you were qualified for, and yet the invitation is open all the same? And it might be a little bit different. It might be a bit uncomfortable. But God expects it of us as agents of His purpose. What is it for you? And how can you step into that role this week, this month, this year, and live God's purposes everywhere we go, in everything we do, to everyone that we meet? Amen? Amen. I'm going to invite our worship team up. We're going to respond in worship. And we're going to have members of our prayer team available down the front. If you want to pray about something in this message, how you can live out the purposes of God, or something that's just been happening in your week, please come forward. We will pray for you. But as we enter this time of worship, how about I pray for us as a community? Heavenly Father, Lord, Your purposes are good and Your plans are before us. They are available to us to step into, to be appointed to take on positions of purpose, Lord. And Father, I pray that as we seek to do that day in, day out, that we can be people who see the whole person, all that they need, all the protection that they require. Lord, let us care for all of them, their physical, their spiritual, their emotional needs. Let us be people who reflect Your character, who has a character so integrated in Your own that people just see You and know that You are our God. And Father, I pray that we can be people not fearful of the cost, but ready for what is to be gained by stepping out of our comfort and into something new as we seek to live out Your purpose. Father, go before us, give us eyes to see the invitation that You put before us each and every day. We pray all these things in Your name. Amen.
So what is God inviting you into today? Is it perhaps to care more holistically for someone He's placed in your path? Or is it to develop your character and integrity by spending time seeking and knowing God? Or perhaps there is a cost or sacrifice or loss that you need to bring before the Lord and lay down at His throne the desires of your heart. Whatever God has been speaking to you about, I pray that you were blessed, encouraged, and strengthened by this message today.